from the house of our friend Kalman Nachman Ben Peretz Herschel that passed away. Bezrat Hashem, all of words of the Torah and all of the merit of the Limud and the Brachot gonna help Leilui Nishmato of our sweet friend Kalman Nachman. So Bezrat Hashem, Rabbeinu in Torah Kaf Tet, we are in part Hey, but it's a second paragraph. And this is what it's written: Lo tochlu al hadam, the isur of eating on the blood means that you have to slaughter the animal before of eating the flesh. So Rabbeinu is taking that verse and learning from it. Hainu means al yedei hadamim, by the blood, shehem gormim lashchina bechinat dam nida, that they're causing to the shchina the aspect of dam nida, bevchinat ir hadamim, in the aspect of city of bloods, that all of those strong, strict, hard concepts are actually talking about the distance between Am Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they are in the aspect of nida, that they cannot come close to Hashem Yitbarach. Bivchinat, in the aspect of madua adom lilvushech, why your clothes are red. Bivchinat, in aspect of shenimtza revav al begadav, that in an aspect of the talmid chacham, that we saw that if a talmid chacham, they found filth chas shalom on his clothing, so he is obligated in punishment of death, chas v'shalom. And I heard an explanation that it's not because that he's got filth on his clothes, so now he needs to be punished. Actually, because that he needs to be punished means that he sinned, that he made something wrong, you can see it on his clothes now. Actually, he is obligated in the punishment of death from before. You can see it on his clothes now, chas shalom, lo aleinu. Hainu, al yedei pgam habrit. So it's all by pgam habrit. Pgam habrit, this is the hardest avera of the Torah HaKadoshah. This is the biggest sin of them all. It's a pgam hotza'at zera lebatala. Shehu b'chinat pgam klaliyut hagidin, that it's damaging all of the gidim. How you said gidim?
Sinews.
Damaging all of the sinews of the person. Sheze b'chinat pgam habgadim kanal, that it's the aspect of defecting, ruin the clothes, like we said, because begadim, it's like the word gidim, it's the same letters. Kanal, like we learned, al yedei ze, by that, lo tochlu, you will not eat. Hainu, it means parnasa betorach, difficulties to find parnasa. Why? Because of gamma brit, like we talked. Veze lo tenachashu velo te'onenu, that the person is not allowed not to attach himself actually to black magics and to dark forces and not to ask questions to those wizards and witches. Shehem gormim bechinat, that they're causing that aspect of nachash mashich la legaba, that the snake gonna bite it. Actually, by the fact that people are walking to those awful places, to those dark forces, and trying to find answers from tarot cards, and to ask for people that understand in dreams, and all of those weird things, chas shalom, by that, they're actually, those people, chas shalom, are inviting the snake to come and bite, chas shalom. Mamash, they're pulling the snake. Rabbeinu is saying, Shehem gormim, that they are causing the aspect of the snake that is biting it, that is biting the people. Vegormim shlitat ha-shifcha bisha, and they're bringing the control, they're causing the control of the bad slave, the bad woman, the bad slave, that this is the wife of the Samech Mem. Shehi et ra'ah, that it's bad times. by being far from simple faith, simple faith, talking to the Creator, believe in Borei Olam that everything is good, by being away from that and trying to find other solutions in weird places, by that, Chas Shalom, a person can cause very, very weird things to Am Yisrael, to the Shechinah HaKadosha. We have someone with a ticket to India in the crowd, so we're just sending hints. Not to go to India, not to go to India. And this is what it's written, Lo tenachashu, not to try to go to ask questions to people that cannot answer you, actually to go to ask advice from people that have weird faiths, not real faith, like Rabbeinu is explaining that we have only one faith that calls faith in Borei Olam. If someone, Chas Shalom, doesn't believe in Borei Olam, you cannot call it faith. Yes?
But it's also on scientific, right?
Also on scientifics. Exactly. On, they're counting on odds and istabrut, astrology and all numbers and all of those. You're not allowed to count on those things. No doubt. Not allowed to count on those things. Not allowed to go and to ask. And not even to try to get an advice, maybe it's going to be an option, this and that. It's totally wrong. And even if a person finds himself that he cannot find a fit rabbi to answer his questions, he's saying, all right, you know what, give me that rabbi that I'm going to ask him that question. I cannot find the rabbi. I cannot count the rabbi of my city. I cannot count on the rabbi of the village. I don't know. Don't know no one, so I have to consult with someone. So I'm going to ask someone wise, someone. The thing is that we have Borei Olam. Ask Borei Olam. Dedicate time, if you have an important question, dedicate time to ask Borei Olam for answers. Stand and ask and ask and ask and ask until you're going to find the answers. Borei Olam is going to answer all of your questions. No one can say that Borei Olam is not answering him. Only a person that is not davening. The person that is asking Hashem Yitbarach, Hashem is answering him. Karov Hashem lechol korav, Hashem is close to everyone. Lechol asher yikra'u be'emet, to everyone that calls him with truth. We believe in the verses, we believe in the Chumash, we believe in the Navi, we believe in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, in all words of Chachamim, all words of Chasidim, of all words of Tzadikim, in all of the generations. If now they said something, we're counting on that. If you have problems that you see that it's not happening in your life, you need to check yourself. Don't make up stories to tell me, no, I done everything, and now you have the excuse why you can drop yourself from Avodat Hashem. Check yourself. Check. What's wrong? Check what's wrong in your Avodat Hashem. Maybe you're doing something that is damaging your prayers from being answered. Maybe you're looking at filthy pictures. Maybe you have lusts and desires that you let them be. Maybe there is lies and, I don't know, hidden things that you're not telling no one and you're not admitting and you're hiding them and you ruin your own life.
Maybe there is... sometimes.
Also, have to work on being patient, on waiting and keep on davening. And if you see that you're praying on something that is not happening yet, in that time you need to ask yourself, what's going on with me? Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not answering me? What can I do that... To fix the vessel, to open the path for the kindness of Hashem Yitbarach to come into my house, into my life. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Immediately we're judging and criticizing Borei Olam. It's not right. First of all, check yourself. This is the beginning of real tshuva. It's cheshbon nefesh, that you're checking yourself. Where am I holding on? Where am I standing? Do I keep my obligations? Am I fulfilling my obligations? And this is why it's written, Lo tenachashu. Lo tenachashu, it means, lenachesh, it means, ha'ese lenachesh.
Yes.
To guess. But Rabbeinu is learning from the word Lo tenachashu, the letters of the word nachash, snake. Shelo ligrom chas v'shalom, not to cause chas v'shalom, נחש משיך לה לגבה וכולי כנל. To bring the snake that's going to bite them, חס ושלום. Don't bring the snake by guessing, by looking for answers in places that are not exist at all. It's all an illusion. It's all lies on top of lies. One time I asked the Rav Shalom on a certain person that was pretending to be a rabbi and was giving shiurim and was causing a huge damage. And I asked the Rav Shalom, how can it be that person have so many powers? And he had them. You could see mamash like Ruach HaKodesh in his shiurim. He was knowing things, he knew things on people in a horrible way, mamash. Things, details that you don't even need to hide them because they're so hidden. And he knew mamash everything. He could tell us things in shiurim that he gave, things that was beyond logic, and we all fell in that trap. Mamash, a huge group of avrechim fell in that trap of that person. It was very young and very charismatic. Mamash sweet. And we all fell, and in the end we found out that he was, to say arrogant and to say cruel, it's gentle words on that person. Mamash gentle words on that person. And I asked the Rav on that. I told him, Rav, how can it be that that person had so huge powers? Mamash, we could see it. We would daven on something in our houses and he was aware to that. He was aware to our words in Itbodedut, to prayers that we said in Itbodedut, to things between people and conversations. Mamash, like he was controlling demons. I don't know what. Mamash, he was there in places. And I asked Rav Shalom on that. So Rav Shalom said to me that in this generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave permission, huge permission, a lot, big permission to the Yetzer Hara to mistake people. Gave him the permission to the Yetzer Hara.
To mislead
people. And people are falling in their trap and they don't have the merit not to fall. So they're falling because of the Avonot, because of the... And only mamash, by the power of Rav, that mamash, he saved a huge group from going down. I never imagined where to. Those places to go after someone that is like a Mashiach Sheker can tear you away from Judaism. That person, he was claiming to be a Mashiach. What? The what? I don't understand. So, and only the tzaddikim, they have the power to see that and to help you to do tshuva and to fix yourself. And so actually, there is a permission to the Yetzara to go and to bite and to penetrate into houses, into family lives, into relationships between people, and because they don't have the merit, because they're bringing the tumor on themselves. They don't know how and in what. You have television, you see news, you see CNN, you see CBS, you see I don't know what, football, I don't know what, baseball, soccer, I don't know what, you see MTV, I don't know what. You're opening a door to filth, to tum'ah, into your house, into your neshama. You have internet, you have things that, if you're not using those things in a proper way, in a very holy and proper way, you're damaging yourself. Every bad eyesight, every time you see a bad thing, it's coming into your neshama. The eyes are the windows, are the doors of the neshama. The Rav Cheshin, that he was a tzaddik nistar, that he was a chassid Breslev, he was huge. He said from the Zohar HaKadosh, he said, Rav Shalom said, I heard it from Rav Cheshin, that he read it in the Zohar HaKadosh, that the Yetzer Hara doesn't have permission to penetrate into the body of the person, to the neshama of the person, from no other place except of from the eyes. Means this is the only gate for the Yetzer Hara to ruin your life. So, closing them, this is it. You finish the story with the Yetzer Hara. So if you're walking with your eyes open, and I know that it's hard, this is not something, all right, now we're in the third floor, so it's going to be a little bit dangerous to go down with eyes closed. But think about it. This is the truth. What are we doing with that truth? You see that it's too hard for you to guard your eyes like you're supposed to? Rav Shmuel Shapira was walking like that. He was covering his eyes like that. There is a picture of him walking in Batei Ungarim, in Mea Shearim, like that, walking the streets, like that. And the Rebbe Migur, the last Rebbe Migur, the old, I said the old.
Which one?
The previous. Lev Simcha. The one that lived 50 years ago, maybe. What?
Lev Simcha, I think the last of the three brothers.
Maybe.
Yeah,
so, Bezat, probably. So, I don't know. He testified on him, that he said on him, that his, by his merit, one third of the Shlish Me'olam, one third of the world is alive because of him. Because of his Shmirat Ha'inayim. He mentioned the Shmirat Ha'inayim. So, this is the perfect Shmirat Ha'inayim. Don't know how his wife looks, don't know how his daughters looks, doesn't know nothing. Doesn't know. With his eyes closed in his house. Alright, perfect. Perfect only when you're humble. If you're arrogant, Rav Shalom said, a person that is arrogant and closing his eyes, it's better that he's going to open his eyes and all day long just going to watch women. It's going to be better. Because by guarding his eyes and being arrogant, he's pulling more tum'ah into the world than by watching women 24/7. It's better to decide, alright, I don't have the ability to close my eyes and to be humble. It's better to walk with my eyes open. So it's better to walk with your eyes open if you see that it makes you arrogant. Oh, look at me, I'm such a tzaddik. Everyone are looking at me, thinking about how I'm guarding my eyes. And you're not in the Shmirat Enayim. A Shmirat Enayim, to guard your eyes, it's a spiritual thing that means humility. That you're ashamed. That you know that you can sin. This is why you're guarding your eyes. I heard the Rav Shalom in a shiur maybe 10 years ago, maybe 9 years ago. He said in that shiur, you think that I'm a tzaddik, that I'm guarding my eyes? I'm a rasha merusha, this is why I'm closing my eyes. If I was a tzaddik, I could have opened my eyes. But because I'm a rasha, because I have ta'avat ni'uf, this is why I need to close my eyes. Of course that this is his humility. I heard the Rav Shalom in a sikha, Ma'or was with us in that sikha. He caused that sikha. In a shiur in Masechet Chagiga, a few years ago, maybe 5 years ago. And Ma'or was talking about something in that shiur that he saw that his daughter, she's got a Barbie doll that likes like a model. And he said to Arav, Arav, what's going on with the generation? They're making those dolls and it's games for kids and it's mamash, it's niuf. So people in the class told him, stop saying those things, started to remind themselves, dolls and I don't know what. So they started to have confusions. They told him, what are you talking? Stop talking. And Arav told him in the shiur, he told him, you can talk to me about those things. They have weak minds. They cannot talk about those things. They're falling to bad thoughts immediately. But with me, and this is what Arav said, this is what I wanted to say, Arav Shalom said, if a woman is sitting on my leg, or if you're going to put a chair on my leg, for me it's the same. There is no difference. If a woman is sitting on his leg, and if you're going to put a chair on his leg, it doesn't wake him up more. It doesn't give him no lust, no desire. Because he controls his thoughts. He decides what he's going to think, what he's going to do. It's not like animals that lead it by the will and lusts and desires. No, wow, an animal, a female, a woman, a blonde, a brunette, a tall, a fat, a naked, a dressed. It's all because you don't control yourself. It's all because that you're leaded by your animal nature. You're not guarding your eyes. You're not controlling your thoughts. This is our job, to control ourselves. And Rav Shalom said, if you want to control your body, you first of all need to control your eyes. First of all, control your eyes. Decide, I'm not looking at women. No one said to be crazy and not to look at your wife and to go to places that you don't have the abilities, and for sure your wife don't have those abilities. But we are talking about working on control on ourselves. Ezehu gibor hakoveshet yitzro, who is a hero, one that conquered his yitzhara. That he decide if he's gonna sin or not. He's gonna decide. He's deciding. He can choose. He got it. The free choice is in his hand. He is choosing what he wants to do in his life. I want to learn Torah now, 1 hour. And then you're sitting and phone rings and people are talking and I cannot learn in this noise and I don't know, there's no air condition. You decided that you want to learn. Sit with the book. So you're gonna sweat a little bit. You can sweat. You can hold on yourself from listening to other conversations. It all depends on your decision, in your will. We have to work on our will. Rav Shalom said, to be a tzaddik, to be a real bad tshuva, until you're going to be a tzaddik, it depends on your will. Have to work on our will. I want to learn Torah, this is it. If now in the middle of the shiur you stopped, it means that your will is weak. If now you decide that you're going to guard your eyes and after 5 minutes you stopped, it means that you don't really want to guard your eyes. Because in the path that the person wants to walk in, this is the path that are leading him in that path. So if you are opening your eyes, it means that this is what that you really want to do. It means that this is really your desire to look at women and to do whatever you want. This is your real will. This is your level that you're holding. So now you want to daven on fixing yourself, working on getting your will stronger, more focused on the purpose that we came to this world for. Wonderful. How are you going to do it? Indeed, Bodedut. Look at me, Bore Olam. How I'm spending my life, spending my days. What am I doing with my time? Instead of thinking of Gemara, instead of reviewing Mishnayot and Gemara by heart, memorizing verses, saying Tehillim, I'm walking like a tourist, looking and observing and watching and checking, and all shtuyot that people are doing.
Once you talked about youth, and you said it wasn't just looking at women, but it's also looking at somebody's car or somebody's house.
Not about niuf, about shmirat ha'enayim.
We said that at anything, not just looking at women.
Rabbi Natan is saying that a person that looks at other people's backyards. Shalom aleichem. Rabbi Natan is saying that a person that is looking on other people's backyards, he's got a bad eye, ayin ra'a. Why looking at his backyard? It's his backyard. If he's dragging you to his backyard and telling you, come and watch, it's okay. But if you have that, it's a bad eye. Not because you want to do something bad, because your eye is bad. Means your eye is busy on satisfying itself. Like the verse is saying that on the eyes that they're cannot be satisfied. Lo yad us, lo yad ot sova. How it's written in the end of, in the end of, in Kohelet. It's written in the end of Kohelet. That the eyes, they cannot be satisfied. They're hungry. Nothing gonna change it. If they're open, they want to swallow the world. Nothing gonna stop it. You look at nonsense. You see, you look at bottles. You look at boxes on food. Things that you don't even have a desire to take it and to drink it and to eat it, but to look at it, you have a desire. Why? Because the eye, it's got a desire. It's got a lust. The chemda, the desire that have in the eyes, are even stronger than the lust, the physical lust, the desire itself. And the satisfaction that a person have when he sees something is bigger even than to taste it, even than to touch it, even than to feel it.
This.
He's eating with the eyes. He's eating with their eyes. Mamash. And this is something that... Shalom aleichem. This is something that we... Ma? This is something that we have to try to conquer. Like we said, Zeh Gibor. Who is that hero? The Kovesh Et Yitzro. We have to conquer that Yetzer Ra. to control ourselves, to control our eyes. We have the mitzvah in Kriyat Shema, "Lo tatur ochel levavchem v'achrei enechem asher atem zonim achreihem." Zonim, it's a horrible word. So it's all happening after the eye. Asher atem zonim achreihem. So why it's written, "Lo tatur ochel levavchem"? Why first of all it's written after your heart and then after your eyes? If we said that the eyes are even worse because the Yetzirah is penetrating through the heart, so why first of all they told us to guard our hearts, "V'lo tatu achrei levavchem"? Because like we said, because you're going to look and observe to the places that your heart desire. So you have to work on your will, that you won't have a bad will to go and wander with your eyes like a tourist, to swallow the world, to swallow more places and more sights and more views and nonsense. Again, on one mitzvah, going to be bigger than all of satisfactions on the smallest mitzvah. Going to be bigger than all of the satisfactions that a person can have in this world. It's written, "Sechar mitzvot be'alma den leka." Gain on the mitzvot, the reward on mitzvot, you cannot pay it in this world. This world is not big enough to contain the reward on the smallest mitzvah. On the mitzvah with all of lackings that there is. It means that on one mitzvah you're going to have the reward, like you can imagine to yourself in our physical mind, with the mind that doesn't understand and get what it means, the world to come, spiritual world. But it's going to be better than watching all of the views, all of sunsets, all of sunrises, in all of the places, smelling all of the roses, all of the flowers, all of incense, all of things, taste more than all of kind of foods and tastes that there is, feeling more than everything. This is going to be the satisfaction from the reward of one, the smallest mitzvah of them all. So now you're going to achieve something like, "Oh, I saw," and you're looking at nonsense, on pictures, on women's, on posters, on shtuyot, on vehicles, on people. What are you gaining? Everything that your eyes are swallowing is carved on inside your soul. It's become to be you. It's like eating. By eating an apple, you become to be an apple. You have an apple inside of you, and you become to be that apple. By looking, it's a spiritual thing that the eyes is swallowing. It's penetrated. It becomes to be in your software, in your mind, in your neshama. Your eyes are filming, are photoing every moment. You have the best quality, the equipment. You have the best resolution. You have everything, and it's not stopping for a second. In meditation or in hypnosis, you can go back to details that you forgot that were exist. They can bring you to focus on things that were mamash, something that now with your eyes you cannot see. They can bring you with hypnosis to that thing, to bring you closer and closer and closer and closer, until you're going to bring those details. How many leaves there is in that tree that I cannot see? They can bring you to it because you have that equipment, because your eyes are being drawn to this world from Ena Hashem, Asher Hem HaMeshotetot B'chol HaAretz. Our ears are coming, the power of hearing, the eye, the power of seeing, eyesight. It's all come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, power of speech. Like we learned it yesterday, I think. It's all coming from Hashem Yitbarach Himself. It's all coming from Hashem Yitbarach. We weren't learning it together. I taught it in the shiur for the internet in the morning. We have to understand we're not reality at all. It's only Hashem Yitbarach. It's the Shechina HaKdosha. It's Neshama Elokit. It's a soul from heaven that dressed in a body, and the body is prison, and you're that guard, and now you have the responsibility to watch over that neshama. And you don't have no permission to contaminate it because you like it, because you want to. It's not yours. It belongs to Hashem Yitbarach. Neshama Elokit. It's His. It's His neshama. So you're not allowed to use it for your lusts. It's not your lust. It's your body lusts. It's the lust of the prison, of the body. He wants to see. He wants to swallow. He wants to touch.
And the ta'avat, the chusha mishush, the ta'ava of touching, feeling with the hands, it's the worst of all other kind of lusts. This on all other kind of senses, you have bracha. You have bracha on sense of smell. You have bracha on taste. You have bracha on eyesight, on sight. You have bracha on rumors, on good things that you hear. You have bracha on everything. So it means that there is a tikkun to them, that you can fix them by keeping them pure and saying the right brachot. You're keeping them. But chusha mishush, on touching, you don't have no bracha by touching. You're not saying no bracha on touching something. You're not doing no bracha on that. It means that this is, there is no tikkun to it. And this is the contamination, this is the tumah of the snake. This is what had happened to Adam v'Chava when they been contaminated. Instead of having kotnot or cloaks of light, that this was our outfit before, Borei Olam switched it and changed it and gave us cloaks of leather, of skin. Of skin. Kotnot or. In the Chumash of Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes, it was still written kotnot or. It was still written cloaks of light in the Chumash of Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes. So actually, you want to see the snake, you want to see the tumah. This is it. Just look at the mirror. This is it. This is the tumah. Who that you really are, it's not your body. It's your neshama. When we're calling you, it's not the body that is coming. You can say, I listen, so you hear him. So it means that neshama is spiritual. I can be with you and you're going to be in a different room and I'm listening to you. It means that it's not physical at all. It's spiritual. The neshama goes in and out through those holes. It's windows, it's doors of the neshama. And the neshama, she has the permission to fly through a certain distance. It depends on the ability of the man. If he's a tzaddik, like the hugest tzaddikim, like a Baal Shem Tov, like tzaddikim with the Ruach HaKodesh, they can see all of the world. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. They can see from this side of the world, Mikzeh Olam Vat Sofo, Misof Olam Vat Sofo, from the end of the world to the other side. There was one tzaddik that his students heard him davening, crying to Hashem Yitbarach, how can it be that I have such a holy eyes that came to this world from Enei Hashem Asher Hem HaMeshotetot B'chol HaAretz, that they're going, wandering, looking on all of the world. This is my eyes that's supposed to have. And I cannot see through walls. How can it be? How can it be? We have such an amazing equipment and we cannot use it. Why you cannot use it? Because you lost the will. You lost the will, also the ratzon. It's the same thing. If you're going to have a will, this is the will. This is, he's doing your will. You're deciding where you're going to go to. We lost our will, so it's taking us wherever. But if you have a will, a strong will, that you want Hashem, and you want to be holy, and you don't want to be occupied on nonsense, on shtuyot, and if you see that you do want to be occupied on mirinda, I don't know what, shtuyot, orange juice, kindly, Pepsi, cola, shtuyot, it's all nonsense. You see that you have lust and desire, you are attached to that, attracted to those things. So you should scream on that. You should come to Hashem on that, to tell Him, please, Borei Olam, let me feel the taste of the Torah Kedosha. That I won't go, like the Rambam is saying, Oila omrim al matok mar, vel amar omrim matok. They're calling bitter things sweet, and sweet things, they're calling it bitter. Something that is damaging your body, ruining your neshama, throwing you away from the Bet Midrash, and it's the sweetest thing of them all, the beach. There's nothing into it. Only sins, only avonot, only averot. You want to do a bracha? Wonderful, do a bracha. Go once, you need to just 1 second open your eyes and closing. You can say bracha on the big sea, on the large, on the Yamagadol, on the ocean. Wonderful, you can do it. The desire that lasts, no, to lie down. It's laziness, the atzlut. Rabbeinu is saying in Likutei Moharan that laziness, this is the ikar, this is the main effect of the biting of the snake, the atzlut. And by being lazy, that you just want to lie down, to relax. Leave me alone. Don't rock my boat.
rock my boat. I just want to relax, to be stone as hell. Don't touch me. Don't shake me. This is, it means that the snake bite you, that you cannot move, that you're numb. The poison, it made you to sleep, that you want to sleep. But the one that is awake, he's alive. He wants to go, he wants to run, he wants to achieve something else in his life. It all depends in the will. In the will. On that we need to work. Because you cannot complain on Hashem. No complaint is going to be accepted. Hashem is going to listen, the angels are going to listen, they're going to write it down. But after it, they're going to tell you, you think that he owes you something. And then they're going to open your book, and you're going to see how much you owe, and how much Hashem was kind to you and generous. That you got things that you weren't worthy for all of the wonderful things that Hashem gave us. We're not worthy. So we cannot complain on Hashem, Yitbarach. The only complaint that we can have is on ourselves, and also there, to complain not going to help you, we're just going to break your spirit. So the thing is to work on fixing ourselves. A Baal Teshuva is a person that looking for Hashem. What can I do for you, Hashem? What can I do more in my Avodat Hashem? How can I increase my Kedusha? How can I do something else? Maybe I can learn a little bit more. How can I... A person that have a Mevakshe Hashem, he's asking for Hashem. He wants Hashem. He's looking for Hashem. He wants to see Hashem. He wants to listen to the voice of Hashem. He wants to listen to the voice of Chachamim. He desired that. This is his will. This is his desire. This is his will. Us, we need to work on our will. And if a person is working on his will, and he conquered his will, and now the free choice is in his hand, there is nothing that can stop him in Avodat Hashem. Like that it's written, "En davar ha'omed bifnei haratzon." That is nothing that can stop the person from wanting. This is the explanation of that verse. "En davar ha'omed bifnei haratzon." Because a person can be in prison and he wants to put tefillin as much as he wants. No one's going to bring that tefillin to him. He won't put tefillin. He can want to put tefillin and that tefillin will not come to prison. He doesn't have tefillin. You're in exile. Chas shalom. People were in Auschwitz. No tefillin. Nothing can help. It's not the will. It's not bringing that tefillin. Just Rabbi Natan explained. He said, "En davar ha'omed bifnei haratzon." There is nothing that can stop you from wanting. Also, by just wanting, even without achieving it, you kept the mitzvah. You made the main part of the mitzvah. That it's to want to keep the mitzvah. And you're going to have gain on that. One time I asked the Rav Shalom on that, I asked him, "Rav, if I believe in a certain mitzvah that it's real, and I'm not keeping that mitzvah. For an example, a person that believes that he should keep Shabbos, and he cannot. He's not keeping Shabbos. His wife, she doesn't want. His kids are already 15, 16, 17. He now woke up to realize that Shabbos is an important thing. He believes in Shabbos. He wants to keep it, but he cannot. He sees that his house, Chas Shalom, is going to break if he's going to start keeping Shabbos. I asked the Rav, will that person going to have gain a reward on that will, on that faith? So Rav Shalom answered to me that the gain on the faith is bigger than the gain on the mitzvah itself. And by that we can understand something. What's the difference between religious people and righteous people? Religious people can also keep Torah mitzvot, and righteous people are climbing to the heights. Suddenly they have Ruach HaKodesh, and they're climbing to places. They have Asagot in the Torah, huge Chidushim. They can have the same time in the Beit HaMidrash exactly like the other Chassid, like the other frum person. Dedicate the same. There is a story on Rabbi Aaron Mikarlin, that there was a person, his name was, if I'm not wrong, his name was Moshe, that he was a wagon driver, Eglon. And he one time hold he saw Rabbi Aaron Mikarlin, Rabbi Aaron Agadol Mikarlin, and he hold him and he asked him, he told him, "Rabbi Aaron, do you remember me?" He told him, "Yes, Moshe, my friend." He told him, "Yes, I have a question to you." He said, "Yes." He said, "You and me, we were learning in the same cheder, we were eating the same food, we had the same rabbi, we were learning in the same asechtot, the same gemarot, after it yeshiva ktana, we're doing the same, we're sitting in the same table. How can it be that now you become to be Rabbi Aaron HaGadol Mikarlin, that it's written on him that he had 80,000 Baalei Teshuva students. He made 80,000 Baalei Teshuva. How can it be that you become to be Rabbi Aaron Mikarlin and I am Moshe, the wagon driver? How can it be? So he told him, he tried to avoid answering him. And then he asked him again, he said, really, you want to hear the answer? He told him, yes. He told him, you were always staring. You were always staring in the bed. You were looking for bad things. You were complaining and you were whining. And I don't think that I didn't have a hard life. I had a very hard life. But I was always looking for the good. So you see that the intention on how you keep the mitzvot, this is the difference between a tzaddik to a religious person. You can be religious. It's a wonderful thing to be religious. It's great. No one say that it's not good to be religious. You're going to have gain on your mitzvot that you're keeping. But the gain really depends, it's been set by your intention. Mitzvot tzrichot kavana. It requires kavana. You have to have a will. The main kavana in the mitzvot is to be happy with the mitzvot. Is to understand the merit that you have to keep that mitzvah. Like the Ari HaKadosh that said that the thing that brought him to the huge level that he achieved was the fact that he was happy while keeping the mitzvah. The happiness means the understanding, means humility, how much Hashem is kind, how much Hashem is huge, and how we are low, and everything that we have, it's all from Hashem. Bezat Hashem, we hope all of those wonderful words of holy Torah, Torah, Torah Kedosha, going to help and open the path, Bezat Hashem, for Kalman Nachman's soul, Ben Peretz Herschel, and Bezat Hashem, to open the hearts of all of his family and sons to the tshuva also, to get closer to Judaism, to everything that is good. En tov ela Torah. There is no good except of Torah. En tov ela tzaddik. Thank you very much, Chazak Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Niyah Bidvarav.
Amen.
Maybe we're going to do a Kaddish.
The program will continue for the next 2 days.